T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces, and one thing I know, baby, from time in the film room is the big eye in the sky, it don't lie. Man, the week one film of the Texans offense versus the Kansas City Chiefs, it was alarming. There's no doubt about it. The Texans, they're getting drugged for the number of pressures that Deshaun Watson faced week one. The O-line is catching hell. And I got to come to my big fellas. I got to come to the rescue, man.
They said 24 pressures.
I got to come to the offensive line. I got to come to the rescue, man. There's more to it than that. I don't know how whoever got to that 24 pressures number, I don't know how they got to that number. But it doesn't surprise me because the Texans played terrible. I'll put that out there. But I got to come to my guy's defense, man. That wasn't all on the O-line. There's some other factors that played a big part in that number ballooning to 24. If you do believe it was 24, I watched the film, and what I saw 12 pressures that you can directly attribute to the protection. Not just the offensive line, but the protection. That includes Darren Fells trying to block Tyrann Mathieu. That includes the line sliding the wrong way, whether Deshaun Watson told him to do that or not. That includes plays where I thought Deshaun Watson, maybe he missed a hot read. All of those protection related, I saw 12. And I was generous now. I was generous. I saw 12. I was generous in a sense of if I said, that's on Deshaun, maybe not. I counted it. So the 12 that I can't find are interesting to me. But I want to just stick to, hey, the Texans had a problem giving up pressures, and it was not all on the offensive line.
That's what Bill O'Brien tried to say this week.
Yeah, it's exactly what Bill O'Brien tried to say. Now, I don't know that I would have said it if I were him, but sitting in his chair where I'm at, I can be critical of him. I will tell you this. The three things I'm fixing to give you, I will say, are as much to blame, if not more to blame, for the pressures, the number of pressures ballooning to 24 than the O-line, okay? Number one, the wide receiver's inability to create separation was a big-time problem. It's been a problem in the past here, but you had DeAndre Hopkins, so you could get away with a bunch of 50-50 balls in critical situations, and you could still move the ball, convert third downs, and score points, right? Well, DeAndre Hopkins is out of this joker. Now you got Randall Cobb, you got Will Fuller, you got Kenny Steeles. You got Brandon Cooks. These are guys that the only way they're successful is creating separation. They've done it before. We expect them to do it at a high level now in 2020 with the Houston Texans. We definitely expect them to create that separation versus Kansas City's defensive backs. There is no excuse. This should not have happened. And damn it, finally, show, I got to play this audio. This is Randall Cobb, Houston Texans wide receiver, and he is talking specifically about the receiving core and about him himself, but this is precisely what I'm talking about. This is Randall Cobb, Texans wide receiver.
The team, we can't go out and play like we did on Thursday night. That's bad ball. It was bad ball across the board, and we can't put that on film because that's the film that we're putting out for the rest of the league to see. So we got to be better as a group, individually myself. You know, one thing personally I looked at whenever I watched film is it looked like I was playing a preseason game. I felt like I wasn't covering the ball very well. So, you know, one thing that I focused on practice this week was if the ball didn't come to me, you know, taking steps towards the ball carrier, being able to cover the ball in case there's a fumble, being in position to recover it, we got to do that as a unit, as a team, making sure that we're in football condition, ready for the season.
There's no urgency whatsoever. No urgency. I mean, we can pick that audio apart right there, but that's precisely what I'm talking about. Whether you're running a route or you're not running a route, the sense of urgency, playing fast, playing in the moment, it was not good, and Randall Cobb didn't back down from it. The wide receiver's inability to create separation was a major problem. Show number two, Tim Kelly didn't do anything to help these wide receivers create any kind of soft coverage to create separation, whether we're talking about motion, formation, or tempo. Didn't do any of that. Those are all football 101 things that if your receivers are having a hard time getting off the ball, these are things that you should do. Tim Kelly didn't do any of them, and the quarterback was pressured more because of that as well.
Well, you're right. All those things from top to bottom, as you said, the coaching staff from the coordinators, then you watched it from Tim Kelly, they were in some sort of different mode than a regular season game. When I hear him say that, I'm glad Randall Cobb said those things, because those are things that we visually watched and we've said all week. I just still can't get over the fact, Clint, how in the hell are you in that place? You're playing the defending Super Bowl champions that just whooped your ass. How are you? When you hear, all right, I need to get there and be there for just in case of fumbles, that is like, how are you not in that place?
That's Little League. They teach you that in Little League, right? Run to the ball.
And in a big game.
Right, run
like
the ball.
I can see preseason scrimmage, you're in that place, you're in it. How are you not there in your toughest game on the schedule?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, there's two of them. What I'm giving you right now is the reasons for all the number of pressures on Deshaun Watson week one. The wide receiver's inability to create separation is a problem. Tim Kelly, he didn't do anything to help the wide receivers create any kind of separation or get off the ball or create any kind of soft coverage. The play caller can do that. And the third thing is Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson works deep to short way too often. Deshaun Watson works deep to short way too often and gets hung up on the deep aspect of that. When I say he works deep to short, he starts out reading deep, trying to take the shot, trying to get the go route way too often instead of working underneath. Now, the receiver's inability to create separation would not have created much opportunity for him underneath, but he still has to learn how to get through his progression quicker and get to the check down. And a lot of that's pre-snap read. A lot of that's immediate post-snap read. And it's ultimately one of three things that cause more pressures. And when you do things consistently, like not get separation, not create opportunities for your receivers, and the quarterback holds the ball too long, those are all going to cause the number of pressures to balloon. So when you talk about that, anybody out there talking about it, make sure you don't just bang on the offensive line. This ain't just about the big fellas up front. There's a lot more to it than that.
I think there's a lot to it, especially when you talk about the quarterback and the things that he can do to help this situation out. I think that's a good eye that you took when you watched the film. Hey,
Omaha! Blue! The Texans, the players, coaches, they meet with the media every day, and today was offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. It was his day to meet with the media, and one thing I just got through talking about was the receivers, and I think a lot of it had to do with Fuller and Cooks not practicing. We now know what that looks like on game day when you don't practice game speed throughout the week, and so I would fully expect those guys to be back working their tail off throughout the week. I don't know what's going on over there. I'm not at practice, but Tim Kelly sure is saying the right things. This is Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly on his wide receiver group.
The more opportunities we have of getting all those guys on the field and working with Deshaun and, you know, in a team setting is just going to be beneficial to, like you said, you already mentioned it, the timing, right? Reading body language. Okay. All those different things. So like being able to just continue to accumulate those reps, game speed obviously was great the other night with those guys being able to get out there and kind of trial by fire, if you will. So the more that they can do that, we're anticipating them being on the same page more and more and looking forward to the production being able to increase.
Show the one thing I hope they ain't doing is waiting for another game day to get those game speed reps. I mean, the one thing I hope is going on right now is Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, and Will Fuller are out there getting it. And if they're not connecting on certain routes, go routes, you know, some of the different intermediate routes, that you would run on third and six, third and eight kind of deal, then I hope they're lining them back up and running it again, and they're not worried about Fuller getting injured or Cooks getting injured or Cobb getting injured. I hope that they're running things full speed, game speed, and getting these guys prepped and ready, because Baltimore's secondary, they're a whole different level than what they saw opening week with Kansas City.
They're going to try to make big plays on you, big time, big plays, especially Marcus Peters on the back end, who has a knack to make big plays. Even without Earl Thomas, this is still a secondary that can still go get me.
Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball, baby. Anthony Weaver. Obviously, it's no secret. My number one takeaway from last week's game was a struggle versus the run. And I'll be damned if they don't have the best run game in the league last year coming to NRG this weekend. So the Texans have to get – if they're going to fix anything from week one to week two, it's got to be the run defense. We had Seth Payne on, former Houston Texan, former Jacksonville Jaguar. We had him on. He talked about the defensive struggles. Well, here's Anthony Weaver. He addressed the media today, and he was asked the question of how do the Texans improve – their run defense from week one to week two?
That's just something we got to get corrected. And that responsibility lies solely on me. I think the players are going out there giving effort. Are there things they can do better? Absolutely. But it is my responsibility to get that fixed, and I believe we'll do that.
I can't disagree. The more I think about it, the more I look at it, you talk about the whether we're talking about pass rush up front or stopping the run up front, The coverage didn't match the pass rush. The coverage didn't match the run fits, right? There was a time when I think Daniel Jeremiah posted a video of Clyde Edwards-Helaire had received the ball. He paused the video when Clyde Edwards-Helaire had taken the ball and was one step past Mahomes. And both safeties, they were bailing to a cover two look, so they were bailing deep at the snap. So I'll give them – that's why they were going that direction first. But he paused the video when it was blatantly obvious that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had the ball in his hands. And the both safeties, one of them kept backpedaling completely out of the screen, and the other one backpedaled for five or six more steps before he was able to read and recognize that it was a run and get downhill. So whether we're talking about the coverage being so soft the pass rush can't get there, or we're talking about the safeties being so deep that they can't feel and help stop the run, it's a problem. Your front has to match your coverage, whether we're talking about pass rush or stopping the run. And the only one that can get that together and get those things on the same page and make the biggest improvement from week one to week two is Anthony Weaver. So it's good to hear him addressing the media and saying, hey, that's on me. I got to get this thing right.
That is true, Clint, but also he is being kind and he is taking a bullet because I know he ain't coached that defensive line not to know what gap they're supposed to be in.
Fair.
And I know he didn't coach, like, there ain't nothing. He can say all he wants about things. There's nothing he can do about Bernardrick McKinney being in the hole against a running back.
Right.
And not touching him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of it is that true, but some of it is elementary things that, hey, man, you got this gap. You got the A gap. You got that. That's where you're supposed to be. And if you're not just you're not getting beat, that you're getting beat, but you're just not even – you're not even going there.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, there's no doubt about it that the individual approach, the effort, the energy, the physicality, I mean, it has to skyrocket, right, tenfold for the guys up front, but from Whitney Merciless to J.J. Watt and everybody in between. I don't know if Jacob Aminihu is good inside. I don't know if that's where he's built to be. I don't know if J.J. Watt still has the ability to get inside over a center guard and really be a game wrecker. There were a lot of things that were trial and error week one that I don't know will make the game plan this week, but I know that a lot of the responsibility lies in Anthony Weaver's lap to figure out what it is they do best and put themselves in position to play winning football. Make up if the defensive front doesn't get in their gap, then the secondary, the safeties have to downhill feel and make up for them as much as they possibly can. There's just a lot of room for the individuals to improve on the defensive side of the football, but Anthony Weaver can improve as well and help with a better game plan.
All right, Clint, this may be dangerous. I have a Bill O'Brien thought that I want to run by you. I want to run by you and the people. I trust your your thoughts, and I want to run this by you. I'm prepared that I'm going to get crushed by the people with this thought. That's all right. I still want to get your feelings on that. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stern and the Show.
Wait for it. Do this with me, Show.
I don't want to do it to this song. The fine.
Oh, lame ass. Oh, lame ass.
Not lame.
Ass
I just don't make it. Don't make me. Don't make me rock.
Come on, man.
Not what it makes me rock. No. 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
Now that
will make you rock, right? That will make me rock. All right.
Just a little more well-rounded. That's all.
That's right. 713-572-4610. All right, man. I want to run this Bill O'Brien thought by you, Clint. All right. I think a lot of people here have been running through like Bill O'Brien. He's got to go, man. It's year we've been having to deal with this year after year. He's got to roll. My thought is, Clint, I think the clock started for him last year. I think the clock started for him last year, and to me,
it's fair to say that Larry and Stafford disagrees.
I know
you.
Larry and Stafford, and many people disagree. Like I told you,
hold on, so.
I'm prepared to be crushed by the people, and that's fine. And you can crush, you can text, you can call in 713-572-4610. But I believe the clock started on him last year because to me, last year was the first time that I think you could honestly go into a season and really have the season and say, his quarterback is a top 10 quarterback. I think 2 years ago, he was very good, but coming off the ACL, I still think he wasn't a top 10 quarterback. I think you could roll through 10 quarterbacks in the league the year they lost to the Colts 30-0 in the playoffs. That, yeah, there's still 10 other. He's not a top 10 guy yet. Last year, I think, was the first year he was a top 10 guy. To me, he has this year and next year. And this year and next year, if they don't start taking steps past the divisional round where they lost last year, then I would say, okay, now maybe it is time to make a move. Because I think you separate the years of Bill O'Brien before he got a franchise quarterback. And when I think last year was the first year where you could say he has a franchise quarterback. And I think it is fair for what he did before he got Deshaun that you give him 3 years with a franchise quarterback. And if you don't start making steps, then it's time to move. I think you got to separate the years prior to Deshaun Watson being a franchise quarterback. And I think a lot of people are putting the 7 years together. And I think you got to separate when he got the guy. And now that he has the guy, the clock starts. And if you can't get to a Super Bowl with the guy, then I'm with you. Like, it's time to make a move.
Ooh, man. Yeah, I mean, I think you got to consider the totality of his time here in Houston, when you're talking about Bill O'Brien specifically, because he's responsible for, a lot of those particular decisions that didn't work out. So I really struggle with going, okay, he finally found one. He finally got it right with the quarterback. And now we can start judging him. It doesn't matter that he was picking the players before. We're going to start the clock now. But
I'm not saying to start judging him now. I'm just saying to start with the clock of, all right, man, we're going to have to make a move.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's fair to say that the expectations for Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans went up last year. And that has a lot to do with Deshaun Watson. For me, I look at the roster and I go, there's no reason that these guys shouldn't scare the hell out of anybody they play. I mean, I'm not ready to put them in the AFC Championship, not ready to put them in the Super Bowl, but there's no reason that the roster the Texans had last year should not scare the hell out of anybody they step on the turf with. And it was time for the product to improve, the consistency to improve on both sides of the ball, product and consistency. And I don't think it did. It didn't last year. I would say the Texans underperformed when you talk about putting a quality product on the field. I ain't talking about wins. I don't give a damn what round of the playoffs. I don't. This is my opinion. And I'm not trying to tell anybody how they fan. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the number of wins. I don't care about the round of the playoffs in which you – I don't think any less of Baltimore's 14-win regular season last year because they got ousted in, after a bye in the second round of the playoffs. Don't think anything less of them. Not at all. So when I look at the Texans, I was disappointed because the product wasn't where it needs to be. So when I'm talking about Bill O'Brien and his tenure as a Houston Texans head coach, I honestly don't care about the round of the playoffs. I honestly care about the product that's on the field. And where we sit right now, after 1 week of the 2020 season, after a very inconsistent, underwhelming 2019, I'm disappointed in the product that's on the field. And right now, is that going to result in fewer wins? Yeah. Is that going to result in not making it to a specific round in the playoffs? Probably so. But I'm a product guy, show. I'm a product guy, and I look at how does your team take the field every single game? It's hard to win games in this league, right? It's hard to win games in this league. It's not as difficult to consistently take the field every week with a quality product on the field. And I've just yet to see the Texans get there. I think that's what Bill O'Brien should be judged by, not wins and not a round of the playoffs.
As I said, I thought I would get crushed here on the text line. And you could call in 713-572-4610. You could text in, wow, that was a Skip Bayless take, show shaking my damn head. I don't agree with it. My explanation is, many people feel like it's been 6 years. This is his seventh year. Bill's got to go. And I would say, in my opinion, I think you have to separate the time when he got a franchise quarterback. And I think you can't ignore the success that he had prior to getting a franchise quarterback, which to me gives him a longer leash, right? He got, like, Deshaun Watson became a franchise quarterback to me, a top 10.
So now I understand you. Now you're giving him a longer leash because he just recently got his quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. A top 10. Yeah, and I separate the two. He got his top 10 quarterback for the first time last year. Deshaun was a top 10 quarterback. Prior to that, he never had an elite quarterback. He won the division. He won the division two times and had winning records. To me, that time frame gives him more than, like, if they were 5-11, they had losing season, he gets his franchise quarterback last year, they do what they did, you want to say it's time for him to roll? Sure, yes. But to me, I do think he gets more leeway because of the success he had without a franchise quarterback. And to me, it started last year. That's when he had his franchise quarterback. Because of how much success he's had, I'll give him 3 years with the franchise quarterback. And if you're not taking any more steps, then I'm with you. It's time to rock and roll. But I like to me, you got to separate them. You have to separate the time when you got your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I disagree with that. Like, I wouldn't judge him that way, and I don't judge him that way. I think, you know, the same time when I talk about judging the product, if I judge the product from last year with your franchise quarterback, I'm not impressed. Right, but there's people out there, which I'm sure Kyle McNair is one of them, that goes, "Hey man, 11 wins, second round of the playoffs. That was an improvement from the year before. So whatever they're doing, the result is getting better." Yeah, but the deal is, are you any closer to winning a championship? Yeah, you're one round closer in the playoffs. That may have a lot to do with the fact you caught Buffalo in the first round, right? Are you really any closer to Kansas City? Are you really any closer to Baltimore than you were to New England back when you were winning the division, when they were winning Super Bowls? I just don't view it that way.
And I won't
That's
argue
why
that
I'm
fault.
Disappointed.
And I won't argue that fault that they're not. But I do think when he got his franchise quarterback, he gets more than 1 year. And to me, last year was the first time you could say Deshaun Watson. That was a top 10 quarterback. The first time to me you could say it. And leading into that, he's won his division three times leading into last year, won his division three times in the first 5 years, four years that he was there. I think he gets two more years with his franchise quarterback. And if it, because what we've seen is with guys like Deshaun, that talent, they generally get to the Super Bowl. And if you don't do that, then now it's time to rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys with that kind of talent don't take the field like they did last Thursday.
No, they
don't.
You
know what I mean? That's the reality of the situation. Is like it's still a possibility that a Bill O'Brien coach team will take the field several times throughout the year, not just once, but several times throughout the year. And you look at the team; the team's flat. It's unacceptable to get beat like they're getting beat right now. And maybe sometimes Deshaun Watson puts that cape on and goes and wins the game at the end. But there's way too many times with this talent that Bill O'Brien has. And I give him credit for building the roster. But there's way too many times that they take the field and the performance is uninspired. It's unacceptable. The valleys are way, way too low. Now, there's some peaks that are really high now. You know, there's some mountaintops that are way up there with Deshaun Watson when everything's hitting and guys are on the same page. But, man, the lows are extremely, extremely low. And that inconsistency to me is a major issue.
Yeah, the lows are low in the playoffs. Yeah, really low in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, no, it does. Really, it's not just really in the playoffs. I mean, a lowly Jacksonville team came in here and competed with the Texans in a way that you wouldn't expect them to compete with the Texans. Carolina competed with the Texans the way that you wouldn't expect them to compete. Denver Broncos came in here and blew the doors off of them. And I know it's football. I know what happens. But when you face teams like that, those are typically the teams that don't do championship type things. And if you just do the right things, then you should win those games. You got to check those boxes.
All right, Cecil Shorts, former Houston Texans, 6-year NFL vet. He played the position of wide receiver, and I'm telling you, he joined us earlier. And wait till you hear what he had to say after watching the film of these receivers. Trust me, he was honest, and you don't want to miss it. That's next.
I kind of got like a box head.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Now I can rock to that. I can rock to that. Okay, there you go. Look at Tyler. Nodding his head a little bit. I can rock to that. Man, really upset the people here. Really upset the text line. I love it, man. I love the conversation with the text line. I love it. We'll get back to my Bill O'Brien thought potentially a little bit later. Remember, guys, big news coming out of NRG. They have... They're working with city officials and potentially could have up to 15,000 people in at NRG as soon as October 4th.
What up, little show?
October 4th against the Vikings. So be looking out for that. That is big news potentially for Texans fans to have fans out there, as the Chiefs and the Jags did in the NFL in week one.
Yeah, man, look, it's an opportunity to be. We'll be there this weekend.
That's right.
I mean,
man.
I hate to put that out there, but me and Show will be in the building this weekend over at NRG watching the Texans and the Ravens. But yeah, I mean, you, for all the fans out there, man, you got a chance to possibly be in the stadium October 4th versus the Minnesota Vikings. That will be a big time game. And if you are a Texans fan, I think one thing that bodes well for the organization in this moment is if you're a fan and you're interested in going to that game, you should feel pretty comfortable about knowing that
Yep.
they will flip every single stone and spare no expense in creating the safest environment possible for fans, for the players, for the organization across the board. And so I'm looking forward to that, seeing how quickly – fans get back in the stands for college and NFL football game show.
Yeah, that's true. So keep out for that. We'll see and continue to report that to you. That's why we're Sports Radio 610 Houston Sports Leader. We got that for you. All right, we were able to catch up with a former 6-year NFL vet, wide receiver in the National Football League, and played for the Houston Texans and played under Bill O'Brien and many of the coaches on this coaching staff, Cecil Schwartz. And, he was very honest about what he watched and very honest about what he saw from the receivers. This was our conversation earlier with Cecil Schwartz.
All right, welcome in. Cecil Schwartz, former Houston Texan wide receiver, six-year NFL vet, is with us. And, man, I really wanted to talk to you because a big thing coming out of that game on Thursday and going into the game on Sunday was the play of the receivers. And just from watching that performance, what was it that jumped out to you that seemed to be such a problem for those guys against the Chiefs?
I'm going to be honest with you. I watched the All-22 last night. I watched the All-22 this morning. I watched it about 15 minutes ago before y'all called. They weren't getting open. I'm just being real with you. They were not getting open. Will Fuller was getting open. Besides that, I didn't see Randall Cobb get open that much. Now, to be fair, I think that Kansas City had a good game plan. I do. But I thought we would be able to attack them. The Texans would be able to attack them down the field more, be more of a vertical threat. The opening drive, I think on third down, Fuller got that back shoulder fade from a tight split. He should have caught that. But the guys weren't getting open that much. And to add that to the fact that Titus was getting beat like he stole something on the right side.
Yeah, that's true.
And he had some different pressures thrown at him that he might have tried to rush things a little bit and not go through his full progression. But just worrying about the receivers, to me, the defense won. If you look at the All-22, if you look at the film, they were in man coverage a lot. Yeah, they had safety help at times. Yeah, they might have a linebacker creep up under a couple of times under their routes or whatever, but you didn't see a lot of separation and a lot of routes, just being honest.
Cecil, I agree 100% with you. I've watched it for the third time now as well, and I saw exactly the same thing. Zero separation from the receivers. As the game went on, Kansas City got more and more confident in playing man-to-man defense and really being disruptive at the line of scrimmage. Let me ask you this about being a receiver. How difficult is it to create the separation and get a good free release when the majority of the snaps are from a stagnant position for a receiver? I thought Tim Kelly did a very poor job of being creative in formations and being creative with movement to get guys free releases, to get them moving full speed when the ball is snapped and to create so that they could use their speed, essentially. How big is that portion of playing the position of receiver in a sense of multiple different formations and motions to help you get off the ball and create that separation?
It's Clint. That's huge, man. The OC has to help the receiver out as far as, hey, if we're in a tight formation, you simply motion the back outside of me. Guess what? The defense has to change a little bit. They're either going to hop back and somebody has to go with that back or put me in motion so they can get me off the press, especially if I'm struggling beating press, right? Especially if I'm not a bigger guy. If you have Hopkins out there, I hate to bring his name up, after 14 catches, 153 yards, right? I hate to bring his name up. But if you have Hopkins out there, you can do a little more. He's more physical at the line of scrimmage. He can beat press a little better than these guys, which are smaller. But these guys struggle with it. The whole game, they struggled with it. They weren't creating no separation. And to have the ability to move around, right? The motions that were in were more like misdirection motions on run game, right? It was more, you know, fast motions across when you're faking and more like maybe in the orbit motion behind the quarterback. But to have motions where you can move Cooks around, or have motions where you can move Fuller around, move Steels around to get that press off of them, right? It helps them out better to get going down the field. But they weren't creating the separation, like you mentioned, Clint, all day at the line of scrimmage. They struggled. And they were going against, you know, a rookie and then a three-year vet. And
yeah,
it wasn't guys that, you know, that had a big name to them. Now, those guys, credit to those guys. Those guys played well. But I just expected more from veteran receivers.
Cecil Schwartz here with us on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. And now you said you've watched the tape and you've played the position. That was supposed to be one of the positive things about this group, is that this was a group of guys, and Brandon Cooks, who has been someone who creates separation, and Randall Cobb from the slot, who is able to do the same, and we've seen Will Fuller. Did you have a growth of concern after watching week one, or are you just going to say, all right, that's week one, I know these guys' background. That just isn't a general thing that happens to them.
I put it this way. It's for me, I expect September to be rough. I expect the first four games of the season to be rough. Cooks, how many times y'all were out there? How many times did you practice during training camp?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You can't just get out there and expect to be at 100%. Plus, he was dealing with a quad injury. You can't be out there and expect to be 100% and beating press and doing all this stuff and getting timing down the quarterback and making tough catches when you're not doing it at practice. You're not just going to wake up one day and be able to do it. Yes, you're a professional, but you still need that reps at practice, right? You still need to go through it against a defense, against a guy. And he didn't practice as much as Will Fuller did and other guys. Even Will Fuller, some of his time was off. He should have caught – I'm going back to that first if he's going to be number one receiver, he has to catch those tough passes. He has to catch that back shoulder fade. The DB wasn't even – didn't even touch him, right? That was a perfect ball by Deshaun. He has to catch that. So, for me, those guys, I'm not worried, but I do expect some improvement throughout the time. But I do understand they didn't have a lot of offseason. They didn't have a lot going on this this preseason because of the situation, and then those guys didn't practice. But you have to have a little bit of concern, to be honest. You have to, because the first four games is a gauntlet. And then if you mess around and you don't win none of them, or you go 1-3, you're behind. Yeah, at least got to come out of here 2-2. So those guys got to figure out a way to get more reps, to get things going, because Baltimore is going to come in time ready to go.
Cecil Shorts, the third, six-year NFL vet, former Houston Texans wide receiver, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Cecil, right now, tempo and pace of play are, you know, that's one big topic with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson having spoke to the media earlier this week and not given very good answers in response to questions about the tempo and the pace. As you watch this team, is the tempo and the pace of offensive play, is that being blown out of proportion, or do you, again, along with formations and motions, do you think that the tempo aspect, the pace of play aspect, is a problem with the Texans and is a place where they could improve really overnight if they decide to use it more?
They need to use it more, Clint. It's that simple. Deshaun did it all at Clemson. I love the RPO stuff they were doing, right, with Will Fuller with the slant. You had a bubble. I mean, the stuff, the RPOs looked good last Thursday night, but the fact that they did not have a lot of tempo or didn't do tempo to the end of the game. When you go tempo, it puts pressure on the defense. They got to keep the same personnel on the field. The defensive ends, the D-tackles, they can't go in and out. You know what I mean? It puts pressure on them. They got to stay in the base coverage. They can't go all this tricky stuff. So when you're going fast, the defense got to stay true. They stay more basic, and now you can run your plays, and it's easier for the offense and easier for Deshaun to get to deliver the ball and know where he's going. But when you are going at a slow pace, and that's the thing about it. You got a quarterback that can do that. You got a quarterback that's darn good at doing that, right? You got receivers that can understand. You got a lineman that can go, like, get this thing going. When you don't have that, when you don't have formations and motions that can get your receivers off of press, especially when they're struggling or whatever the case may be, you're going to struggle like you did last Thursday night. So for me, is you have to go motion. You have to go tempo, excuse me. You have to from the start of the game. Let's get going. It's not David Johnson looked good, but you got to get tempo going. Get him going. Like, RPOs is great, but add tempo to it. You hit a big play to the Will Fuller of a slant, like a 12-yard slant or 12-yard catch after the RPO. Get up and go right now. Get up and go right now. It shouldn't be no great. Get back in the huddle or something, or slow. Get back in that formation or whatever formation is. Go tempo. Keep the same defense on the field. They got to go in their base package. They can't go nothing tricky. No exotic blitzes, nothing like that. If you did that last week, you might have a better chance of winning. So for me, moving forward, it's important that they get that tempo up and as up as possible.
Cecil, take us into the receiver meeting room. The receiver position is one of those where there's multiple guys in the meeting room throughout the week, right? If you look at the Texans this year, you've got multiple guys in that meeting room that are veterans that have played with very well coached offenses, very creative game plans. They've had a lot of success in this league. How long do you think, if it's as blatantly obvious as you and I, we both played the game, if it's as blatantly obvious to you and I that, hey, they need to do some things differently in order to have success, how long before those guys, the Randall Cobbs, the Kenny Steeles, the Will Fullers, and Brandon Cooks, at what point do they go, all right, enough's enough? And I know it's early in the season, but at what point do you go, hey, enough's enough, we've got to do some things differently, and really, I guess, approach Tim Kelly or the wide receiver coach with that message?
From how I know these guys, just knowing them passing and talking to them, playing the league together, whatever the case may be, it's going to be pretty soon. These guys are veterans, like you mentioned. They've been around 7, 8, 9 years. They've gained the respect of Tim Kelly. They gained the respect of their teammates. So it's no issue to step up and say, hey, we got to go tempo. Hey, step up. Hey, listen, if I'm struggling off the press, hey, let's get me in motion. Let's get some things on. Let's go stack. You know what I mean? Let's go doubles. Let's go stack. Let's go trip. Let's go bunch to get the motion, to get the press off, whatever the case may be. So they need to figure it out ASAP. And I think having veterans in a room, and Tim Kelly is a guy that people respect, that people understand, and Deshaun is an approachable guy as well. They'll be able to go up to the receivers, will be able to go up to those guys and say, hey, we need some more tempo. Or, hey, I'm suggesting that we do this and do that and have an open conversation like men would. So
that is Cecil Schwartz, wide receiver, former NFL vet, 6 years, played for the Texans. After watching the film, Clint, he said they weren't getting separation, and you've mentioned that earlier, and that ain't going to work, because for obvious reasons that ain't going to work. But the change in the style of receivers they have, you would have thought would say that is not going to be as much of an issue. That is not going. You've got Brandon Cooks, who is a guy who is throughout his career separated. Will Fuller has separated. Randall Cobb from the slot has been a guy who has separated. Even Kenny Stills. That to me can't work.
Well, they're all undersized guys in terms of if we're comparing them to the bigger receivers in this league. And so, you know, their teams are going to be confident in playing man-to-man. And teams are going to come in, whether they're confident or not, teams are going to come in to Houston, and they're going to want to get on the line of scrimmage, be physical, and disrupt them off the line of scrimmage. The one way to keep a guy from running by you is get physical with him at the line of scrimmage, stone him at the line of scrimmage, and now you've thrown the timing off of the offense, and now you've thrown the spacing off of the offense, and you're in a better position to win. The Texans didn't do themselves any favor in the first game. They made it. They made Kansas City look awfully good playing man-to-man. They put them in, the game got to a situation where they could play two safeties on a roof and play man-to-man underneath with Chris Jones and Frank Clark rushing the passer. And so it wasn't a good look for the Texans week one. There's no doubt about it. I believe the quickest fix right now, show, for this offense is for Tim Kelly to get creative. And again, this is get creative with your formations and your motions. It's not something that's not in the playbook. It's not something these guys have never done. Create a nasty package out of a bunch, three receivers bunched up out of that formation. Just give me a hell of a package that can attack cover three, cover two, cover four, man-to-man, cover two, man. Give me a have that right there. And if in the first drive your receivers are having a hard time getting off the ball, boom, jump in that bunch and you're off and running. You're creating opportunity as a play caller for your receivers, and you're not just beating your head against the wall. So Tim Kelly can help this problem the Texans have in a big, big way.
That's right. Cecil Schwartz, appreciate you joining us. Gave great insight, especially on the receivers. 5 o'clock fire coming up, and Texans fans, you get a chance to hear from the Texans team president, and he gives a real breakdown on exactly what they expect when they try to have fans return to NRG. You'll get a chance to hear exactly what he had to say coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.